Everyone get a student book this evening, all right? And you'll have places to fill in. Also, we have new cards. They're on by the sound booth, but it's a new card. It's a join us, gives the address of the church, information, the website, and on the back side of the card it says, you are the salt of the earth. So it'd be a great card to hand out. They're back there. So please help distribute them, find people at work and that you're fellowshipping with and that they may not be attending a church anywhere. Share that with them. It's a great outreach material to give to them. Amen. Also, there is a new book that was gotten in, which is Salvation Made Simple. And it's a great book to put in your purse or your coat pocket. It's a mini Bible study. And these will be available as well. So please do that. Now, tonight we're going to work on this. And for some of you, it's going to be very fundamental. I want to say thank you for everyone that's come tonight. I know some's driven a long way, maybe not have dinner tonight. But I was contemplating in my own soul is that when Jesus went to the town, I'm assuming he went to the town to look for workers for the field. Doesn't tell me how many he received, but it just takes one. One person with a handful of seed can make a difference with the hunger, amen, that's around. So that seed can feed many people. So one person can change the outlook of a city and outlook of a life completely. The front of your student says, welcome to the journey of your life. A good builder doesn't just wing it. He begins with a clear plan and specific goals in mind. Jesus never called his followers Christians. He called them disciples. Here at, we want to call it CLC, we recognize the importance of learning how to become, and this next word is very important, mature, mature, mature. So let's open up your student and let's begin on the journey. Loving, learning, living. So we're going to look at the mission. Very simple, basic. We all know it. But in the New King James Version, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19. When you have an understanding, when you have a revelation, then this verse becomes so exciting. It really does. Go baptize them in the name of the Father. And we know that. Number A, go make disciples. The responsibility of you and me. You've heard it over and over since you've been in the church, the body of Christ, what we need to be doing. It is the motivation. It is that giddy up and go. I was talking to someone this afternoon, and they said, I don't know, I don't understand. I just don't have strength. It's like my strength of my body. I just don't have enough. I said, well, I can relate to that. The past few days, I've been the same way. Today, I felt so tired in my body. A lot of things I want to do, get done and accomplish. And so I was sitting at home, and I decided, okay, it starts with one foot in front of the other. Got to get up. Got to get moving, got to get doing it. So the go and make disciples the same way for the church. Sometimes we think we can't do it or we become embarrassed by trying to do it. But it is more than just the verbal inviting people to church or hanging a little note on someone's door inviting them. It's the lifestyle. It's the demeanor in which we live and share our faith. B, so what is a disciple? What is a disciple? Love one another. Loving. John 13:35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you have love one to another. Love one to another. So what is a disciple? It's loving one another. Someone said, I thought it was about knocking on doors and witnessing. And tell somebody about Acts 2:38. A disciple is a follower after Jesus Christ. What is his demeanor? What is he like? Well, he tells us here in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Number two, continue in my word, learning. In John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. So being a disciple is continuing in the word of God with an understanding. That old saying is, people have said, I've read the Bible through many times. Question is, do you understand what you've read? Do you understand what you've read? I have been in church for a number of years. This is why that I love to hear preaching. Why? Because through the preaching of the Word of God, things open up. I've read the Bible. I've studied the Bible. But if I hear someone preaching, or I turn on my iPhone or iPad and turn into some preaching, it's always uplifting. It's insightful. So it is learning. It's a disciple that's following after Christ to learn more of him. Can I get a witness on that?
Yes.
Number three, bear much fruit, living. John 15:8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So bearing much fruit. And of course, that is in so many ways. Let's notice number C, loving. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 22:37-39. So let's look at number one under C here. A love for, there's space there. It's a love for God. So you should write in God. A love for God is the foundation for discipleship. Love him. Loving him. Number two, a true love for God will produce a true love for people. 1 John 4:20. A true love for God will produce. Number three, we place a high value on people. Someone says, is the soul worth it that's down and out? Yes. Jesus died for that soul. Yes. We cannot govern the circumstances of people's lives. Really can't. True. Jesus never tried to govern their lives. He tried to change their lives by an encounter with himself. And when you have an encounter with God yourself, that brings forth a change in your life, a change in direction, okay? It will produce something out of your life. Three, we place a high value on people. Four, Jesus died for people. People. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So he died for people. Number five, a love for people. A love for people will drive us to reach others. In other words, if we're just centered on ourselves, or we're centered upon just the congregation, if we're centered upon just those that we know within the body of Christ, there's nothing to drive us, nothing to push us beyond our walls and carry. So it becomes important to us understand a love for people will drive us to reach others. Number six, create an environment where everyone is welcome. Welcome and loved. hallmark of a great church. It's where people that come in, either the first time or have been here for 100 years, they feel like loved, feel like the congregation cares. Amen. And if you have that within your heart and your spirit, if I have that in my heart and my spirit, it will radiate out.
Yeah, absolutely.
It will radiate out from me, from you. And I can say from my experience with the congregation that most, if not everybody, comes to visit the church feel loved. They feel the kindness of people. Amen. So that's a hallmark of this congregation. Number seven, we should be a church where people experience God's love. D, learning. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yes.
That's a powerful scripture.
Yes, it is.
It's a powerful scripture. We believe in the word of God is the basis of all truth.
Yes.
Yeah.
2 Timothy 3:16 and verse 17. All scripture given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That covers so many things, doesn't it? The teaching, the reproof. Someone says, you got on my toes. Didn't aim to step on your toes. A lot of times, if you physically step on someone's toes, say, oh, excuse me, pardon me. But it's the word of the Lord, amen? And we simply say, help me to keep my toes covered. Help me to keep my toes out of the way. It's a job sometimes, amen? But the word of the Lord, I have, since age 23, something like that, I've sat under a few pastors, and not only to get my toe stepped on, I needed someone at the door to hand me Band-Aids when I went out. Amen. Seemed like I was just spiritually bleeding. Amen. And there's times the word of God comes at the right moment, that when you don't feel good in your spirit or in your body or life in general, that you walk out feeling, I feel good. This was good.
Yes.
I received something of the Lord.
Yes.
So this word is so valuable to us. Amen.
Amen.
Let's notice, we are endeavoring to help you. What are we endeavoring to help you? Number one, understand God's word. Hosea 4 and 6 gives us that. Understand God's word. Number two, by understanding, learning is a, should be lifelong process. Lifelong process. 2 Peter 3:18. I'm still learning. Anybody here still learning?
Amen.
That's why the Word of God is so awesome, because it just opens up so many things. Every time you hear it, opens up, and I think the Spirit of the Lord just kind of opens up our spirit.
Yes.
To receive what we have need of. I'm always amazed at the fact is a man can stand behind the pulpit who's prayed and asked God, what would you have me to feed the sheep? What would you have me to feed the people? And with a few or a multitude of people, when that word goes forth, it can mean different things to many people. Each one receives something out of it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. And not everything tastes like chicken. So it's so famous, you know. I just, what does it taste like? Ah, it tastes like chicken. Well, the word of the Lord tastes differently and is received differently by each individual according to their need and their spirit's need. Amen. Number three, become personally responsible for learning God's word by becoming a self-feeder. Self-feeder. Becoming personally responsible for learning God's word by becoming a self-feeder. E, living. Matthew 7:20. Wherefore by their fruit shall you know them. That's a powerful scripture in our lives. It's the living, it's the fruit we produce. John 12:26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Amen. Now there's a lot, I don't have time to break it down tonight, but in this one scripture. If any man serve me, let him follow me. That's every day. Every day. Not once or twice a week, but every day. You're following Jesus, trying to be in his presence, in his shadow, if I may say so. Amen?
Yes.
Matthew 23:11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. No matter what our position may be, whether it's pastor, whether it's a board member, whether it's someone who's leading a group of people, whether you are just sitting in the pews, all of us are servants.
Yes.
And we serve one another.
Amen.
Why do we do that? Because we love one another. Because we are a disciple of Jesus Christ. You see, when we are trying to make disciples, we are trying to get people introduced to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
His character, his demeanor, his will, his purpose. And to get people to be followers of him. So thankful that this congregation can be and should be and will be running maybe 1,000 people. But 1,000 people are following Jesus Christ. Not the church. Not the building. You can have a $10 million building. But building is not what we're following. We're following him. His spirit. His anointing. That's in that gathering when we gather together. And then we realize that when we leave the gathering, whether it's 1,000 people or more or less, it is his spirit that goes with us. Never leave you nor forsake you. And to get people to understand this, your loneliness is not loneliness except within your own mind and your spirit.
Yes.
When you have Jesus Christ, you have everything that your life needs. Amen? When you're down, you can worship. I went out in the woods before and just worship.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I've been in the car by myself before and just worship.
Yes.
You can be with your spouse. And when there's two of you together, you begin to worship. You are in that atmosphere of the anointing of the Spirit of God. And it makes a difference, a big difference.
Amen.
The next one. Should be page 4. Number 1, knowledge. In the blank, should write down knowledge of the Bible. Does not guarantee application of the Bible. You sort of said this earlier. Do you understand? See, if you have an understanding, then here comes the application. If we understand what it means to go make disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, if we have the knowledge of the Bible, but then we put application to it,
yes.
Amen,
amen,
then God can use us in the field laboring for him.
Yes.
James 1:22, but ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So if we're not doers of the word, we are deceiving our own selves.
True.
Amen. I saw something on Facebook today. I chuckled when I read it. It said, was it said? When mama said it or someone said, shut up. That means keep quiet. I get serious. I'm like, what does that mean? Be quiet. Don't say another word. Don't talk back. Amen? So what's the application? You know, talk back. I've known people, you've known people, when you try to correct them, or maybe a child, and they keep on talking. They're not listening. They're not hearing. Amen? It's just a thought. Two, true life comes from obedience. Obedience to God's word.
Yes.
Psalms 119, verse 56 in the New Living Testament. This is how I spend my life, obeying your commandments. I like that.
Amen.
This is how I spend my life, obeying your commandments. Number three, dying to self brings spiritual life. John 12, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That too is a powerful understanding. We die out to self, die out to the world, which simply means the things of the world. In other words, there's not a love for them. There's not a desire for them. So they no longer exist as far as the pulling factor in your life as they once did. Amen? So dying out to self. Number four, find the purpose you were created for.
Amen.
Find the purpose
yes.
you were created for. We're on this discipleship journey. I think one of the great things we can wind us up over the next few weeks is to find the purpose of our lives.
Yeah.
And these additional classes will help us to understand that. Number five, utilize your gifts and talents.
Yes.
There's not a one of us, even in this sanctuary this evening. You have gifts and you have talents. I'm going to make a statement. Sometimes you've got to be a self-promoter.
Amen.
Oh, I couldn't do that. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
Amen.
You just have to do it. Put one foot in front of the other or one thing in front of another and absolutely do it. Amen. Gifts and talents. In this congregation, we need more gifts and talents.
Amen.
More Sunday school teachers.
Amen.
More this and more that. Always do. Never run out.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Number six, understand that you are a servant. A servant. Amen. Let's look at number three. How our church is structured. I'm not going to give you some profound inside of all the departments, and this is not what we're talking about. A, the church is a family.
Yeah.
Yep.
Amen.
Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion one for another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. Number one, God expects you to be member of a church family. Member of a church family.
Mm-hmm.
Two, a Christian without a church family is an orphan.
True.
Is an orphan. You know, after a while, when you miss so much church, you feel like you don't belong.
Yeah.
And the devil is happy about that. When you miss church and you're out for so many weeks, or you may miss a month of church after a while. And here again, I understand the concept in it. But this is the importance that we have to become mature. This magical word of being mature.
Amen.
Amen. It is where that I take responsibility of getting up and coming to church. I take responsibility of sharing my faith. Amen?
Amen.
I'm waiting until we have a great big drive and we all go out here in the subdivision. We hang hangers on the doorknobs and knock on doors. Yeah, that's it. But how many times you do the amen? How many times you have to knock on doors? You're not knocking on doors every day of your life. But you are meeting people every day of your life.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes. Amen.
And in this aspect of this family. You couldn't find another nicer family. Oh, true, I found some grouches along the way. But you know what happened after a while is? Is that you pray and get your spirit right, your spirit leveled. Amen?
Amen.
Number three, so we operate on the basis of relationships, not business.
Amen.
So we operate on the basis of relationships and not business. First Timothy 5:1-2. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters.
Amen.
It's not a business, it's a relationships.
Right. Amen.
Amen. One of the greatest probably training I've had in the ministry was with Brother Kraft in Athens, Alabama. Lord had brought us there, and I was working for the newspaper, and Brother Kraft, it's a Southern church. Their style and their demeanor is different. Their social structure is a little different in how they approach things. But I watched Brother Kraft as he would come in the door, hang up his coat, and he would start in the back of the church and he'd work his way down the aisles. He'd stop and he'd talk to the people. More than one occasion, his first name was Dewey. And they'd call him Brother Dewey. And it was showing, it's not showing it disrespect. He was just like their dad. And one night I heard a lady say, Brother Dewey, say, I want you to pray for my grandson. Okay, let's pray right now. So miss everything's going on, whatever. Relationship.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not business. We got a church to do. You turn in your cards and we get to it, we pray for it. Mm. It's not business. It was relationship. If we learn to realize this, that my brother and my sister, and we have a good relationship.
Yes.
That we can share one another. We can lean on one another. Amen. We can trust one another. We can hope. Amen.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful relationship, not business. B, a church is a body. Body. B-O-D-Y. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Romans 12:4-6. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many from one body, and each member belong to all of the others, we each have different gifts according to the grace given to us. Folks, every one of you have a different gift and a different ability.
True.
If we could discover our gifts or ability, my mother-in-law, she was a quiet lady. She could pray. I'm telling you what, she could pray you under the table. She could pray. In church, very quiet lady. Once in a while, the Spirit would hit her and she would just begin to worship. And But she had a gift of writing notes and small letters. She was an encourager. She had the gift of encouragement. And she'd write little notes and cards and send them to people because it was an encouragement to that sister in the church or the person that she knew that was outside the church was going through sickness or whatever, and she would sit down and write a church. I'll write a little card. One of the best things you could do, and I fail on this oftentimes, but if I can share with you, one of the best things you do is to buy some note cards and personally write a little note and send it to somebody.
Amen. Right.
Appreciate you. Praying for you. In fact, I went home from the church late this afternoon. I got in a recliner. I was tired. And I sat there, and like the Lord popped into my mind, I need to send so-and-so a text. And I felt the urgency of doing it right then, right now. So thank God for modern technology. I had to wait for the mail. So
amen.
Had you on my mind, pray that all is well, praying for you, and et cetera. Amen. Doesn't make any difference if you don't get an answer back. They know that somebody cares.
Yes.
Or they may have been saying, Lord, would you put me on somebody's heart? And here comes a text message, or here comes a card in the mail.
Yes.
Amen. So the church is this body. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. And he gave some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. That's what we're doing here tonight. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Our structure. The people are the ministers. Say, we are.
We are.
The people are the ministers. Pastors are the administrators. Administrators. Number I in your paper. The goal of this class. A, to gain biblical understanding and commit yourself to Jesus Christ and to CLC. To gain biblical understanding and commit yourself to Jesus Christ and the CLC.
Amen.
The word church is used 80 times in the New Testament. Only 4 times does it refer to the church worldwide. Every other time it refers to a local church. There are more than 30 commandments in the New Testament alone that you cannot obey unless you are a faithful member of a local church. That's why church attendance and being a part of the church is so important. And I commend you for your faithfulness. Joining a church family is probably the most significant decision you will make in your Christian life. B, to become a Christian by making a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. There's going to be times in a local body, in a church, that may or may not please you. But you're not living for them. You're living for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Keeping your heart right and your spirit right is so important. If you go through problems in the church or whatever, you stick with Jesus Christ. Be faithful to the house of God.
Yes.
Be faithful to the house of God. But who you're following is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. To become a church member, C. To become a church member by making a personal commitment to CLC. Most people live their entire lives without ever knowing why they exist year after year, with no idea of why they live or God's purpose for their lives. The most basic question a person can ask is, what is the meaning of life? Everyone wants to be happy. People try many ways. Some look for happiness by acquiring possessions. Some look for happiness by experiencing pleasure. Some look for happiness by gaining prestige and power. But real happiness comes from understanding my purpose. If I understand what I can do for God, following Him, love like He loved, have a relationship find my gifts, defines my purpose for His kingdom. Number two, under this, why am I here? A, God made me to love me. God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31 and 3. Ephesians 1 and 4. Even before the world was made, God had already chosen us to be His through our union with Christ because of His love. B, we are created to enjoy a personal relationship with God and to manage the rest of God's creation. This makes us special. You see, when you receive the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, it's a personal thing that's happened between you and God.
Yes. Amen.
You may have people around you praying with you, encouraging you, coaxing you along, but it's a personal relationship between you and Jesus Christ. Amen. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Then God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over every living thing that moves on the earth. And hunters, people who like to hunt, takes this as a personal scripture. Every moose, every deer, every duck is their personal. But that's not what God was talking about here. It's totally different. 1 Timothy 6:17, God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. John 10 and 10, Jesus said, I have come that ye may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. See, when we know and love God and live in harmony with His purpose for our lives, it produces tremendous benefits in our lives.
Amen.
Down below you'll see a list of them. Clear conscience, Romans 8 and 1. Help with weakness, Romans 8, 26. Confidence, Romans 8, 31. Power and strength, Philippians 4, 13. Fulfillment, Philippians 4, 19. Life and peace, Romans 8 and 6. Purpose, Romans 8, 28. Security, Romans 8 and 39. Freedom, John 8, 32 and verse 36. When you're on this journey, it's a tremendous journey.
Yes.
There's no dullness in it. There's no oh-hum in it. Amen?
Amen.
If you ever get the oh-hum, you need to rediscover the joy of the Lord.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
Search Him out. Because if you search Him out, you will be found of Him.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
All right. Brother Terrapathini, come.
Praise the Lord, church.
Praise the Lord.
So, we're going to continue on down our discipleship journey, and you should be at Roman numeral number 3, and it says, what's the problem? What's the problem? And in A, it says, man has a natural desire to be the boss, and to ignore God's principles for living. So, here's some things you might hear somebody saying. And if we all look in the mirror, we've probably said one of these phrases ourselves. I'm going to look out for number one, and I'm going to do my own thing. Or how about, if it feels good, do it, regardless of what God says about it. Some other things people might say is, it's my life, and I'll do what I please. And let's take it a little bit farther. Hey, don't worry about it. I'm not hurting anyone. You ever heard anybody say that? Have you said it yourself? Don't answer. And I've even heard people say it's all up to each person's interpretation of the Bible. It's how they interpret it, so that's how they live. But I'm telling you, that's not it. So the Bible calls this type of attitude. What do you think the Bible calls this type of attitude? They call this type of attitude sin, and sin is simply disobedience to God's word, to His laws, to His precepts. And it says there in Isaiah 53 and 6, it says, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. And each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Gone astray. Going back to the original Hebrew word in that, it's hada, and it's translated sin. So each of us, like sheep, have sinned. We've gone our own ways. We've done our own things. And that's part of the problem. Yes. And so there in 1 John 1 and 8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, that if we say, hey, we're not going our own way, but we're doing what God, and we're deceiving ourselves. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That's pretty bold statement. I mean, think about that. If you say that you have no sin, that you're not disobedient to God's word, he's saying you deceive yourself. You're calling yourself a liar, and the truth is not in us. So what happens when we sin? Sin breaks. B-R-E-A-K. It breaks our right relationship with God. It doesn't build in a good manner. It doesn't build a good relationship. Sin has broken that right relationship with God. And it says there in C, it says, it causes us to fear God and try to live our lives outside of His will. Now, we know that in Ecclesiastes, it says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. For we are to what? Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. So I want to make it very clear. The fear that this is talking about here, it causes us to fear God and live outside of His will. This is a different style of fear. This is not the fear of reverence towards God, a holy reverence towards God. This is to fear God in trembling and shaking and living outside of it. And then in 2 Timothy... Peter writes to Timothy, he says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear,
right?
But He gave us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And of a sound mind. That means that we're in our right sense, or our senses. And so, if fear breaks that right relationship and it causes us to have an ungodly fear towards God, guess what? That is of the devil. That is not of God. Because God says, I did not give you the spirit of fear, but I gave you the spirit of power. I gave you a spirit of love. And I gave you a spirit of a sound mind. Amen.
That's right.
There in Isaiah 59 and 2, this is from the New King James. It says, but your iniquities, your sins, your hada has separated you from God. So again, we go back to it. Sin breaks our right relationship with God. And in Romans, Paul wrote there in 3 and 2, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have. So there is an innate problem. What's the problem? It's sin. Letter D. When our relationship to God is not right, it causes problems in every area of our life. Every area of our life, in our finances, in our relationships, in our careers, and guess what? In our marriages. Amen. Not being in a right relationship with God will affect every one of these areas and much more. Letter E. When people have problems, they often try many different ways of coping with it before they turn to God. Again, I'll say it. They try many different ways to cope with their problems, to cope with their issues before they turn to God. And I want you to think about this. The woman with the affliction of blood. For 12 years, she dealt with that affliction of blood. For 12 years, she tried every doctor she could. She spent her life's inheritance. She spent her life's saving, she spent everything she had to try to become well in that 12 years. And at the moment of desperation, when her money ran out, when the physicians ran out, when everything ran out, she only had one thing to go back. In her desperation, she went to God. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Had she not finally realized in that moment of desperation what she really needed in her life was not a doctor, a physical doctor, but she needed a right relationship with God and turn to God, she would have died in her sins and her trespasses. Amen. Letter F. Even when we know that our deepest need is God, we often try wrong ways of getting to know Him. We often try wrong ways to get to know Him. I mean, think about this. This is workspace right here, right? One of these days, when I get good enough, I'll go to God. I'll go to church. When I quit smoking, when I quit drinking, when I quit doing drugs, I'll go to God. It doesn't matter what you believe, just be sincere. Or I'll work real hard and earn the favor of God. I'll be religious and go to church. And that's not what God wants. We're talking about relationship. Yes. Religion is nothing but a bunch of rules and regulations that people try to jump through to make themselves feel good about God. But God desires a right relationship. Sin has severed that right relationship. And you can never do enough work. You can never do enough good deeds. You can never do enough time at work to be good in God's eyes. It's all about the relationship. Sometimes I think we want God to be our grocery store. That we want Him to be our delivery boy. And we just try to earn His favor by throwing up prayers. And hey, look, I've done some Hail Marys, thrown up some prayers. That's a football term, not a Catholic term, okay? We've all thrown those deep balls hoping that somehow God would catch it and help us out. But look, if you're in a right relationship and you're daily praying with God and daily communicating with God, I'm telling you what, you will find yourself less and less having those desperation moments. I'm telling you, that's a fact. It's a fact. So what's the solution? We know what the problem is. The problem is sin. Thank you. The problem is, class, sin. And here's the solution. Letter A. God Himself came to earth as a human being to bring us back to Himself. If any other way would have worked, if all the works, quitting this, doing that, building this, planning this, would have worked, Jesus would not have had to come. Amen. Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, I am the path, I am the method, I am the process, I am everything. I am the way, the only way. There's no other way. There's not a path down Center Street. There's not a path down to Detroit Street. It flows right through Jesus. I am the way. I am the truth. He declares Himself to be the truth. Everything that He says, everything that He does is the truth.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And He says, I am the life. Guess what? You cannot have life outside of Jesus Christ. You may live in this world, but you are spiritually dead. The only life that you and I can have is through Jesus Christ. And if there could have been another way, He would have never come to save you and I. Jesus has already taken care of our sin problem. He said the wages of sin is death. Death being separation from God. Not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. You are spiritually separated from God. So the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23.
Yes.
Amen. What a great gift.
Yeah.
B says, God did this for us. Hey, why don't you cross us out? God did this for me. For me. Because He loves me. And He wants to know. He wants us, He wants me to know Him.
Yes.
Amen. He wants to restore a right relationship with you and I. It's not what you know about God. It's how well do you know God. God demonstrated His love towards us in that while we were still sinners, imagine that, before you were ever born, even in your sin, God demonstrated His love towards us, to you and I, in that Christ died for me.
Yes.
Romans 5 and 8. Think about that. On the cross, 2,000 years ago, He looked ahead in time and saw you and you and you and you. And He said, I love you so much, and you're not even born yet, that I'm going to pay your sin debt today, that in hopes, that in expectations, that when you are here, that when you are born, when given the opportunity, you will accept who I am, what I've done, and have a relationship with me. Because it says there in 1 Timothy 2 and 5, it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Now, mediator. What does that mean? What is a mediator? A mediator facilitates a solution between both sides. There's you, the sinful person. There's God, the holy, righteous one. And we needed a mediator. We needed someone to facilitate a solution between us and God. And that was Jesus Christ. God had a dispute with you and I because of sin. But His death, Jesus Christ's death, settled our debt to God and gave us the opportunity to be in a right relationship with God.
Yes, amen.
So God has already done His part to restore our relationship to Him. He took the initiative. He stepped out. Why? Because He first loved us while we were still sinners. He took the initiative. Now He waits for each one of us to individually accept what He's done for you and I. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. We're going to do one more section yet tonight. And I'm excited about this section. This section is the essentials of what we believe. Our articles of faith, the things that make us apostolic, amen, and the things that define us as Pentecostals. And I love doctrine. I love knowing why we do what we do and why God said to do those things and breaking them down. So we're going to start, it looks like letter number I. You guys following me there? Excellent. Starting there in subtext number A, about God. We believe in one ever-living eternal God, infinite in power, holy in nature, attributes and purpose, and possessing absolute indivisible deity. What a powerful, powerful God we serve. Amen. The one true God has revealed Himself as Father in creation, through His Son in redemption, and as the Holy Spirit in the outpouring during the church age. Amen. We recognize the three manifestations of the one eternal God. And what an amazing opportunity and revelation that is. I remember as a young man learning that there was only one God and studying that there was only one God. And you believe it because you read it and you study it and you look at it. But I remember very clearly the day of revelation when God pulled the scripture out and revealed to me that God was God. It was Isaiah chapter 43, amen, verse 10 and 11. It says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He, and before me there was no God formed. Neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. There is no Savior. Why did He say Savior in the middle of Isaiah? Because He meant Savior. Amen. It excites me to know that we serve a living, singular, sovereign God. Amen. It's just so exciting to me. Also in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Amen. 1 Corinthians 8:4. As concerning therefore the things, the eating of those things which are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. What an amazing God we serve. Revelation chapter 4, verse 2 says, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne.
Yes.
What an amazing God we serve. If you ever had a question, amen, we believe one God around here. Praise the Lord. Amen. So subtext B, about the Bible. We believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, a divine revelation from God to man. We accept the Scriptures as the supreme source and final authority in all matters of faith and conduct. Because it is inspired by God, it is the truth without any mixture of error. Amen. We believe in the inerrancy of God's Word. Man, it does not possess the ability to be incorrect. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. 21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Word of God is special. It is alive because it was written, amen, by men who were under the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's not just a collection of fables and fairy tales, amen, that happened to collect itself, amen, to coalesce into what we have today, but it was inspired by the Spirit of God. Amen. Psalms 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. Psalms 119:160 said, the word is true from the beginning, and every one of the righteous judgments endureth forever. The word is true from the beginning.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Psalms chapter 30, verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Amen. The word of God is pure. Amen. It is untampered with. It hasn't been washed down and set aside by man's ideas and by man's concepts being given into it by philosophy, amen, but the Word of God is inspired by the Spirit, amen. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. About Jesus Christ, and this is where things are going to get exciting. I love talking about the revelation that Jesus is the one God incarnate.
Amen.
Amen. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, born of a virgin, and he lived a sinless life. He was crucified on Calvary for our sins, and his bodily rose from the grave. Amen. And that he has been exalted to the throne of God, where he is the only mediator between God and man. There is no other door. There's no other gate. There's no other path. Amen. I don't care what the multi-denominational singular God you worship, whatever you want, say in the world. It doesn't matter to me what they say. There is only one way. And Jesus Christ is that way. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to talk about that for just a few minutes. Matthew 1, chapter 1, verse 22 and 23 says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted is God with us. Amen. So we're seeing the very first glimpse in the New Testament of who Jesus was to become. Now, what did the prophet say about Emmanuel? Amen. So we're going to have to go back to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Amen. So we're if you start mixing the glimpse of the New Testament Jesus in Matthew 1 and the Old Testament look of what the Savior was going to appear like, and you start to put together the clues and the puzzle pieces, amen, you come up with John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And so the same was in the beginning, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life. Praise God. Amen. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The devil didn't even know what to do with him when he got here. Amen. He didn't even have a clue how to handle Jesus. Verse 14 says, "And that word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." When he got here, he looked like a son. Praise God, because he was. Whew. Does this excite anybody else but me? Amen. 1 Timothy 3:16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." For God, I want you to notice here, God is in capital G. This is not a little g. This is capital G, denoting, amen, the majesty of who you're talking about. Yeah. God was manifest in the flesh. Yeah. When we viewed the flesh of Jesus, you did not view a second form of a Trinitarian version of God. You viewed God himself. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, capital S again, denoting the majesty of who you're talking about. This is not just some average thought process that was conjured up in Nicaea.
No. Praise God.
This is, we're talking about Jesus here. This is our Savior. This is the same God, capital G, who is now justified in the Spirit, capital S. If you've talked in tongues, you've been justified by his Spirit, in the same way he was justified. Seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Amen. God is so exciting to learn about. I love who it is that we serve. And this is the kind of the depth that we want to bring in the next few weeks. Amen. As we go forward. About Jesus Christ. We believe that through his death and life, we have salvation and power for victorious living. Amen. I want to read one more section of Scripture here. It's in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Amen. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." Amen. He knows what we go through. Amen. He was tested on earth just like as we are. Amen. "But was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need." Amen. It is because of the temptation of Jesus, the passion, amen, of Christ, that we can endure the things that we endure in this life. Amen. And before we move on, I want to read one more. Amen. And this is in Acts chapter 1. Verse 9 through 11, it says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up." This is referring to Jesus himself. "He was taken up in a cloud and received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye up gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as if you had seen him go into heaven."
Yes.
Our end goal is that someday, God, capital G, who we've been justified by his Spirit, capital S, was received into heaven. He's coming back.
Yes.
Amen. This is not my eternal home. Praise God for that. Amen. D, subtext D, is about salvation. "We believe that all men have sinned and stand in need of redemption, which is obtained through the new birth by faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that repent of their sins and be baptized in Jesus' name have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, become children of God and heirs with Christ." Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Amen. If you need proof that you're a sinner, here it is. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ."
Amen.
Amen. What this is talking about in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, when the wages of sin is death. Amen. Brother Terry kind of hit on it, and I want to kind of accentuate it just a little bit. Death in this form is not referring to, amen, we're burying you and putting you under the dirt. This is a biblical definition of death, which is separation from God. Amen. So when you're separate, when you sin and you are now dead, you are separated from, imagine a world where you're separated from God. No ability to reach out to Him on your own. This is the world we live in, praise God, and we need desperately His redemptive power, amen. Which is why it's so important to read scriptures like John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Yes. Praise the Lord. Man, he was adding the definition, I am the Savior. Amen. There is no other way. And just like we talked about a few minutes ago, there is no ulterior motive. There is no plan B. We're not going to survive, amen, and then take an alternate route. There is no Siri saying, recalculating, when you miss your turn on the interstate. Amen. The GPS is lying. There is no recalculating to heaven. There is only one way to get there. Amen. And that's through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is by faith and faith alone. If we're going to make it, that we're going to have to go by Jesus. Amen. The book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. According to His mercy He has saved us. According to His mercy He has saved us. I'm so thankful for mercy. Amen. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's exciting when you start to talk about salvation. What do I have to do? I imagine in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Ghost was being poured out. Imagine the men standing around the disciples, watching them, perceiving them as drunk men. And then hearing a tongue lashing from Peter. Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? Peter stood up from among them and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How cut and dry can it be? Salvation is only ascertained by repenting of sin, by walking away from a lifestyle that is unbecoming of God, and by being baptized, buried by immersion in water in the name of Jesus, having that sin, amen, washed away by the application of the name of Jesus. Amen. Acts 4:12 says, and there neither is there salvation in any other name. Amen. There is no ulterior way to get to heaven. Amen. I want to continue to punch away at that point. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. This is a long section, but it's exciting. And I'm going to read it anyway. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Yes. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Yes. Amen. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. Amen. How many remember coming out of that water and feeling the weight of sin roll off your shoulders? Amen. I remember being that young guy and they're pronouncing the name of Jesus over me. And I remember coming up and I hugged the guy. I was soaking wet. I didn't care. I hugged the guy and said, man, I don't know whether to laugh or to cry.
Yes.
I was so confused on my emotions. I was thankful to God for what He had done. I was sorrowful for the sins that I had committed. And I was glad that I didn't feel them anymore. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Verse number 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead, this is referring to baptism, he that is dead is freed from sin.
That's right.
He that is dead is freed from sin. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Yes. Behold, all things are become new.
Yes.
Amen. And I want to read John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Yes. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. Subtext number E is all about the Holy Ghost. Amen. And this, if you ain't excited yet, you're fitting to be. Amen. Amen. John chapter 16. Amen. If you can, we'll get there in just a second. There it is. Praise God. Hold on to that for me, Josiah. We believe that the Holy Ghost is active in our world today. And that the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking with other tongues, along with his accompanying gifts, is the privilege of New Testament believers. Yes. Amen. Nobody in the Old Testament ever talked in tongues. Thank God we live in the New Testament. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Holy Ghost provides the Christian with power for living, understanding of spiritual truths, and guidance in what is in guidance in doing what is right and keeping us from that which is wrong. Amen. John chapter 16, verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And you can think, imagine what the disciples were thinking that night. How is it expedient? How does it benefit us for you to go away? I mean, we thought you were gone and now you're back. How can it possibly be that it's good for you to go away? Amen. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you." God always knew there was a greater plan than the man Jesus Christ. It's the Spirit of God that helps us through our daily struggles, who helps us through our infirmities. It's the Holy Ghost, amen, which brings us comfort in times of sickness and in times of sorrow, amen. I can tell you from personal experience being in terrible times and dark days, if it were not for the comfort of the Spirit, amen, I cannot imagine where my life would have turned to. The darkness can only be abounded by the light, amen, and the Holy Ghost is the light that you take home with you. Amen. And it's something miraculous about having the Spirit of God where you're taking a candle into dark places. Amen. And the people of the world, they recognize the Holy Ghost. Amen. I think musicians, sometimes we talk about anointing like it's some thing. There's lots of us that are anointed. There are lots of musicians that are anointed, but there's not very many that are anointed and have the Holy Ghost. That's why apostolic musicians stand out in the music crowd, amen. When they backslide and they go and play secular music, there's something about the sound, amen, that you can't get rid of the Holy Ghost, no matter how far you run and no matter how far you try and hide, amen. "So the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." Amen. Verse number 8, "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Verse 12 says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come," the Holy Ghost, amen, "is come, he will guide you into all truth." Amen. It is impossible for you to have all truth without being baptized with the Holy Ghost talking in tongues. It is impossible for you to grasp the depths of God's Word, amen, for your life without being full of the Spirit of God. Amen. "For he shall speak," or "for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Amen. "He'll show you things to come." John chapter 14, verse number 16 says, "And I will pray that the Father, that he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you." It is God's intention for you to be full of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Make no bones about it. We don't apologize for it. That's the Word of God, amen, as it's looked upon in our life. Amen. Go to section number F, if you don't mind. Personal holiness. And this is just as exciting as the rest. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. Personal holiness is important. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Personal holiness is important. God calls His people to be holy and set apart from the world. We are called to keep ourselves unspotted from the world and not conformed even to the world's way of thinking. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." The reception is based on us being separate. God's reception of mankind is based upon our separation and not touching the unclean thing. That's the only prerequisite I see here for mankind once you've been baptized in Jesus' name and been full of the Holy Ghost, being separate and not touching the unclean thing. God expects for us to live holy. Amen. And to keep ourselves to Him and to His cause. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 27 says, "Pure religion and is undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." There it is again, unspotted, not touching the unclean thing. Amen. Romans 12 and 2 says, "And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Yeah. All right. Amen. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, it's going to change the way you think. Yeah. Amen. It's going to change the way you spend your time gazing during the day. It's going to change the way your daydreams run. It changes the way that you live your life. It's going to change the whole mindset and concept of how we live our lives each and every day. It's going to change how you treat your wife. It's going to change how you raise your kids. Amen. It's pretty amazing to think about being full of the Spirit of God. Amen. And I dropped a page. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There we go. Praise the Lord. So we also practice modesty in our appearance and moral purity because our bodies are the temples of God. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, please. It says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have received of God, and ye are not your own?" That is one long question. "Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own?" Don't you know you don't belong to you no more? You don't belong to you no more. If you receive the Holy Ghost, your life better look different because it belongs to God. Amen. Amen. In verse number 20, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I'm so thankful that God paid my bill. Amen. And what I have to give up in this world is minimal compared to what He paid. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 18, please. "I counsel thee to buy of me of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. And the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." Buy me gold tried in the fire. His gold is different than the world's gold.
Yes, it is.
His raiment is different than the world's raiment. Amen. I don't know about you, but I just see that right now. His raiment is different than the world's raiment.
Yes, it is.
Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that's the whole chapter. I encourage each of you to read is 13 verses. We're going to skip that one just for sake of time. We're running tight, but that is an excellent chapter. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 18 says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth in his own body, he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." Amen. Keep yourself holy. Amen. Now, subtext G is about the church. We believe that the church has been called out of the world to be on a habitation, or to be a habitation of God through the Spirit. As the body of Christ is on earth, the church offers hope to mankind. The church is one body made up of many members, diverse in their gifts and callings of the Holy Ghost. God has ordained church government, and he gives various ministries, roles, and tasks or offices. Amen. Just very quickly, 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Amen. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. He that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Him that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." We each are of our own gifts. Whether, like Pastor was talking about, amen, the lady that wrote had a gift of encouragement. I wish I had that gift. No, I mean, like somebody would write me a letter. I would love that. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. I thought about that a long time ago. I really figured I'd get more of a laugh than that. Ephesians 2, verse 22 says, "In whom ye are all builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Man, you are builded together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Amen. You ought to honor your pastor. Praise the Lord. Small commercial. Amen. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Amen. It is unprofitable, praise God, to give pastor a hard time. Hallelujah. Amen. Subtext number H. Amen. The second coming of Christ and eternity. Amen. We believe that people were created to exist forever. We will either exist eternally separated from God by sin, or eternally with God through forgiveness and salvation. We believe that heaven and hell are real places of eternal existence. We believe in the premillennial return of Jesus Christ to receive his bride, the church, to himself. And at his coming, we believe the dead in Christ will be resurrected from the grave, and we believe in Christ's millennial reign on the earth. Amen. John chapter 3, verse number 16. Amen. And we're going to close with that. So praise the Lord, we're about done. Let me fix my messed up pages. Amen. There it is. John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's always been the goal. That's always been God's goal. Amen. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." Amen. Romans chapter 8, 17 and 18 says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Amen. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. Man, all the troubles we go through every single day can't even compare to the goodness of God we're going to experience. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 through 9, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But that is as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those that love him." Amen. If heaven doesn't excite you, there's something, your wood is wet or something. We got a problem. Amen. Heaven is real, and I'm going. Amen. You ought to want to go too. Amen. Amen. Leave this old world behind. I remember that old gospel song, "Goodbye, World, Goodbye." I can't wait to sayonara, señorita. Amen. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." What a scary day if your name is not written in the book of life. Man, Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Amen. Looking for the blessed hope. Amen. I can't wait. Can you? Amen. Revelation 22, verses 17 and verse 20 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Amen. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen. Are you looking forward to going to heaven someday? Yeah. Amen. Why don't you stand and worship God? Amen. Tell him how thankful you are for being full of the Holy Ghost, being baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we love you, Jesus.
Glory to God. Lord, let's worship him. Give him thanks. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Be a disciple of you, Lord Jesus. Follower of you, Lord Jesus. Become a lover of souls, Lord, like you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, tonight we took you through the whole foundation of the first one. And it was lengthy. Sunday in the bulletin, there'll be a sheet of paper. And there'll be three classes listed. The class on discover, spiritual maturity. Engage, discovering my unique design. And live, the fruit of maturity, of discipleship. And you can write down your name or the amount of people that will be there in that class. The classes will last an hour. They will not go as long as they did tonight. But we want to lay down that first foundation for you to understand is there's quite a bit involved with being a follower of Jesus Christ. Yes, amen? And it's more than just a couple nights of service during the week time. It's every day of the week, seven days a week. And sharing our faith with people, living our lives, supplying our needs. But next Wednesday night, will come in, have prayer, receive an offering, and then you go to the classes. And we'll tell you where the classes are located at. So the classes will last about an hour or less, and they'll be continued. If we don't finish that in the first week, then the second week we'll finish it up then, if it takes longer. In those classes, it's going to be a time where that you'll be able to share, ask questions. That's why it might take a little bit longer in time and stretch it out maybe another week or 2 weeks. Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for the sacrifice of your time. I believe you will benefit from it in the long run of eternity. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Lord bless you. Be friendly one to another. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for these men that shared with me tonight and was teaching. Appreciate that.